Good morning. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're continuing our series through The Story, which is a 31-week journey through the narrative story of the Bible. And if you haven't been with us since the beginning, it really is never a bad time to jump in. You're invited to take, we've got a handful of copies of The Story left in the narthex. You can grab one on your way out. And if you're not familiar, narthex is in fact the church word for entryway. But we encourage everyone to read each chapter of The Story in anticipation of Sunday so that you've read the stories being preached on in advance. But the truth is that if you haven't done so, you're still going to be able to follow along each Sunday mornings. And just as a reminder, we also have a Wednesday evening Bible study that meets at 6:30, where we unpack even more some of the texts that we've read in the week previously, including a lot of what doesn't get covered in Sunday mornings. And our grow groups are also digging more into how the texts that we read translate directly to the way we live our lives today. And so I'd encourage you, if you're primarily a Sunday morning attendee, consider getting involved in one of or all of these other opportunities, because the story is a great opportunity to jump into God's word with both feet. Now, this week, we're 6 weeks in. And looking at the account found in the book of Numbers, which, if I'm being honest, I'm not sure is anyone's favorite book of the Bible. Pastor Jim Banks, and maybe you know someone in circles you've talked to, but I've never met anyone who is, super into Numbers. It's not one of those neighborhoods in Scripture that we visit very often. And I believe that, perhaps for some of you, you even read this week stories that you had never heard before or were unfamiliar. And yet, when we glaze over the book of Numbers, not only are we missing out on an important part of God's saving story as he has worked within human history to reveal his love, grace, and mighty salvation that is for all people, but I think we also miss what it means for us today as we experience those times of wandering in the wilderness that this life so often brings. Now, the book of Numbers gets its name because both at the beginning and towards the end of the book, there's an accounting taken of the number of men of fighting age. And each time this is done, it's done as they're about to enter into the promised land and conquer it, land that had previously been the dwelling of their ancestors, promised to them by God when he made his Genesis 12 covenant with Abram, but it had been vacated by his family 400 years prior during the famine which ultimately brought Jacob and his kids to follow in the footsteps of Joseph into Egypt. And yet they had to count twice because that first group, they refused to enter. They wouldn't go into the land that God had promised. Now, after that accounting, in between those first and second countings, they then had 40 years of wandering in the desert as God prepared his people, refined and purified them to enter into the promised land. And so after that first accounting, there's an assigning of duties to God's people, which is not terribly exciting reading, but it's important because God is including all of his people in what it means to be his people. He's including them all in the work. Everyone has a purpose and a meaning and a job. And then they set out from Mount Sinai, which is also called Mount Horeb or Horeb. So if you've read that and you've wondered, I thought they were at Sinai. Now they're at Horeb. What's happening? It's the same place. And they go up from Mount Sinai, where they received the law, to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And from there, they send spies in to explore the promised land. And if you're anything like me, then sometimes when you read some of this stuff in the Bible and you start reading the names of places or cities or locations, it's like, I don't know, was that like a mile away or 1,000 miles away? You know, how far really is Mount Sinai from Kadesh Barnea? But here's a map. And I know it's small, so I added some colored circles. But we're looking at the Sinai Peninsula here, and the green circle down at the bottom is Mount Sinai. That blue circle in the middle is the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, or Kadesh Barnea. And then as you see that red line that comes up and sort of hooks around, it goes up to the plains of Moab, which are on the east side of the Jordan River. And that'll ultimately be the location from which God's people enter into the promised land. And those red lines all kind of along the way, that's their journey out of Egypt, but then also their 40 years of wandering. And you can find the account of all of the locations that they went to in Numbers chapter 33. But you see, the reality is that trip from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea is actually pretty short. Deuteronomy 1 chapter or verse 2 says that it took 11 days to get there. And then Kadesh Barnea, halfway between about Sinai and Moab. And so as you look at that and you start to do the math, you realize this could have actually been a pretty short trip. It didn't have to take 40 years. But when God's people first face the prospect of entering the promised land, they falter. They didn't believe that the God who had delivered them from oppression in Egypt with a mighty and miraculous hand of deliverance and judgment on their oppressors and enslavers, the God who led them through the desert by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, they did not believe that he could ultimately make good on his promises. They didn't believe that they could enter into the land that God had promised. And so God sets his people to wander. And what could have been a journey of perhaps a few months turned into a journey of 40 years. They were not ready for the promised land yet. And there are two things about this time of wandering that I want us to focus on today. Because on the one hand, this is a story of God's people, Israel, wandering in the desert. And yet the truth is that I think it is a story that has something to teach us about those seasons of wilderness wandering in our lives. Because I think we all face them at different times. We all face those times of uncertainty, those times of discernment, when what used to work for us perhaps no longer does, and we're in search of something new, something else. Those seasons of wrestling with our beliefs and assumptions and wrestling with God. Times when we aren't always sure how the chips are going to fall. We all have those times in our lives, and the book of Numbers speaks to it with pointed power. The first thing that I want to highlight from Numbers is that God is with us in the wilderness. God is with us in the wilderness. We can miss it if we neglect the story of Numbers. We read Numbers 10 this morning, how the presence of God went out with his people, went out before them. And as they wandered in the wilderness, the presence never left them. You can see this picture up here. Let's put it back. I know this is off the script, Tammy. Thank you. But as you see this picture, those little ants on the ground. It's this image of God's people. And the striking pillar of cloud out before them. that ever-present reminder of God's faithful presence and guidance with his people. I think it's important for us to remember, because those times of wandering, they can be really lonely. And who hasn't been there? Those times of wilderness wandering where we feel unmoored and uncertain. Where am I supposed to be going? What am I supposed to be doing? Because this life is not always as clear, simple, or easy as we might hope or even be led to believe. You know, sometimes things are going well. Everything's falling into place. And then it's not, right? We can be blindsided by life. And the answers that used to work don't anymore. The plans that used to make sense don't anymore. And we know it's time to move on from where we are, but where we're heading is not always so clear. And unfortunately, when those times come, we are often given cliche answers. Platitudes in the face of the big, challenging questions of life. Sometimes you even get them from faith leaders. These are times that bring up the questions in our souls, the big ones of this life. Why am I here? Does my life have a purpose, meaning, or value? Does any of this? Is it going anywhere? And what's my place in it? And then we're often given these cheap and easy 30-second, like TikTok answers to the big questions of life that are supposed to settle the issue and answer the question. When perhaps what we need to hear spoken to our souls is that it's okay and maybe even the right thing to spend some time wandering in the wilderness with your God. To have those questions in the face of mystery and uncertainty. And maybe we find answers in the wilderness. Maybe we don't, but we find peace and praise in the face of mysteries that we can never know and may never understand. Maybe we find something better than we had before, but something that we never would have found if we hadn't spent our time in the desert. And maybe, just maybe, it's an opportunity to learn that when all else is stripped away, that Jesus Christ is always with you. The bread of life will sustain you, and he truly is enough. In these seasons of wandering, you are not alone, because Christ is with you. And the second thing that I want us to see in today's text is that the wilderness is a time or a place of preparation. Those seasons of wandering are not aimless. They're not without purpose. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and 15 and 16, it says explicitly what God's purpose is for Israel in their time of wandering. It says, you wandered in the wilderness 40 years to humble and test you, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He led you through that vast and dreadful wilderness to humble and test you so that it might go well with you. Perhaps you even recognized that those words in Deuteronomy 8:3 are the very words that Jesus quotes as he's being tempted by Satan in his time in the wilderness. The wandering was a time of preparation, of readying them to be in a place to receive the good things that God had in store for his people. But so long as they did not trust God and still had Egypt in their hearts, they would not thrive in the land that God had promised. They weren't ready for it. It's like this. This is a Ferrari LaFerrari. Maybe some of you have heard of this car before. There were only 499 of them made. 950 horsepower. 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds. Wait. Sorry, I read that wrong. 0 to 100 in 4.7 seconds. 0 to 60 in 2.4. And for the real enthusiast out there, 0 to 150 in 9.8 seconds. It's a lot of car. This last week, I looked up, just, you know, curious. Cheapest list price. I found for one this past week, $4.39 million. And in 2015, in Budapest, Hungary, there was a man who started filming one on his cell phone, this incredibly rare car. He saw one pulling out of a dealership, presumably for the first time, and so he pulls out his phone to start filming. And 21 seconds into the video, you can hear the squeal of the tires as the driver steps on the gas. And then 25 seconds into the video, the car looks like this. Spun out of control, slammed into several parked cars before skidding to a stop. Kind of seems like the driver wasn't ready for that much car. And the consequences were evident. You know, who knows? Maybe he just didn't know that it's not like driving a normal car. Maybe he wasn't mature enough to not drive like a fool on a busy street. Whatever it was, what could have been an incredible peak experience turned into a rather expensive disaster because he wasn't ready for it. Perhaps things would have gone better for him if he were adequately prepared. To put it another way, you can't go to the promised land until you've left the ways of Egypt behind. Throughout the Bible, the wilderness is a place of testing, a place of refining, of shaping and transformation. God spoke to Abraham in the wilderness. Moses' encounter at the burning bush was in the very same wilderness that God ultimately brought Israel to after they were delivered. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, a voice of one calling out in the wilderness. King David had a lot of time in the wilderness, twice before and even once after he had become king. The prophet Elijah heard the calling of the still small voice of God in the wilderness. And Jesus himself, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted before the beginning of his public ministry. The wilderness is a time of preparation. And so don't buy into the lie of Satan that says that time spent in the wilderness is time wasted. That time spent in the wilderness is proof that God is not there or that God is not faithful. That wandering means going nowhere and that God could not possibly be at work. Those are lies. Numbers reminds us of the power of wandering through the wilderness with our God as he shapes and molds us, as he prepares us for what he has in store. God spent 40 years leading Israel through their wilderness wandering. As he did, he provided for them miraculously, day in and day out, 40 years of relying on the miraculous provision of God. Taught an entire generation radical trust, radical dependence, and radical faith. something they didn't have when they heard report of those spies regarding the promised land and said, God can't deliver it to us. Now they knew he could. And they were ready for what God had next. This life inevitably has its seasons of wandering. Those times where we are in between what was and what is to come, where we are waiting on God's will, wondering about what's right and what's next. But in those times of wandering, my prayer is that each and every one of us would remember that we are not alone and that Christ is with us. Amen. Please stand.